The date is February 18th, 2000, and we're watching Pitch Black. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello, and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the William J. Johns to my Caroline Fry.
Hello, I'm Colin Stewart.
And this week, as we do our race to episode 100, we brought back another guest for this episode. We brought back one of our old friends. Is this number five for you, Will Brisbane?
I'm pretty sure it is number five, but it's great to be back, gentlemen.
Number five. Always a pleasure to have you, Will. So this week, we are looking back at February 2000, when the movies and theaters were Snow Day, filmed in Edmonton.
Yep.
The Tigger movie, Scream 3, Cabin by the Lake, and of course, our movie for today, Pitch Black, which earned $53.2 million on a $23 million budget.
Is Snow Day is that Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Chevy Chase. Right.
And Chevy Chase.
Yeah, you're thinking okay. Snow Dogs.
Yeah, I was thinking Snow Dogs, and I was like, no, that's Paul Walker, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Paul Walker is Eight Below.
Eight Below. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Old movies.
Too many snow-related movies. Anyways. Yeah. Just so you're aware, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please turn this show to black, pitch black, got it, stretch, and go watch the movie and then come back and hear what we have to say.
I came along with you on that journey. I was okay with it.
Thanks.
So the tagline that appears on the poster for this movie, well, I've got several this week. The first one, fight evil with evil.
Yeah, I guess they say that a lot. Well, they don't actually say that. Do they say that in the movie?
Maybe.
I feel like they do, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, next up we've got There's a New Reason to Be Afraid of the Dark.
Ooh.
Wow. That one gives you chills.
Yeah. Don't be afraid of the dark. Be afraid of what's in the dark.
That one's good.
Yeah?
Sure.
See, we've got a theme going, because the next one is, are you afraid of the dark? You will be.
Oh.
Next up, we've got It's Getting Dark.
Okay. All right.
And now, time to get out of the dark. The next one is, there's only one rule. Stay in the light.
Oh.
And again. Oh, there's one more.
Yeah, no, the last one is A New Species of Terror.
Well, I'm going to say again, they missed the mark on this one. The tagline should have been, we can't leave until we say goodnight.
I like it.
That is a miss. That is a great one.
Yeah. Well, none of those, as plentiful as they were, may not be a very good description of this movie. So let's go to Colin and do a 60-second synopsis.
I have to find this one. I wrote it a while ago. Stop me if you've heard this one before. A priest, a cop, and a criminal are traveling through space with a bunch of other people when their transport ship runs into a meteor shower that damages the ship, kills the captain, and sends them hurtling towards a nearby planet. Wait, is this Gilligan's Island in space? Now, stranded on an unfamiliar planet, it's up to First Officer Carolyn Fry to keep everyone alive and figure shit out. As the ship's occupants explore their surroundings, they discover that the planet's three suns keep it in perpetual light. They also discover a nearby abandoned research outpost with a ship they may be able to use to get back on course, but it's got no power. While the group is all afraid of the notorious silver-eyed criminal Richard B. Riddick, who is living in their midst, they soon discover that what they should actually be afraid of is the horde of nocturnal people-eating aliens living in the caves below the surface. After the aliens kill one of their posse members and almost make a meal out of Carolyn, They discover they don't like light, so they shouldn't be a problem with all the sun, right? Wrong. Because it just so happens that an eclipse is coming to put the planet in perpetual darkness. Now, it's up to old Silver Eyes to use his night vision to save the day and get the crew and their power cells to the new ship so that they can make like a tree and leave this nightmare planet. In the process, genders are revealed, secrets are brought into the light, and a lot more people get eaten, but I'm not going to say who right now, because that is your 60-second synopsis.
Colin stepping up his game in the 60-second synopsises. I like that one. Oh, my God. Yeah, synopses.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Synopsi.
Synopsi.
It's one of them.
Yeah. So this is one of those movies that back in the day, I did actually see this in theaters because it was one of those, why the hell not? It looked kind of cool. And I remember thinking, what a hidden gem. And I was also working at my video store jobs back then, and anytime someone would come in and ask for something they hadn't seen before, this was one of those ones that it's like, hey, have you seen Pitch Black? And most people, it was like, I hadn't even heard of it. But I thought this was a cool movie right from jump. And yeah, so I'm quite fond of this movie. Now, Will, as the youngest one among us who wasn't even born in the year 2000 when this movie came out, what is your history with a movie like Pitch Black?
My history with Pitch Black is pretty simple. I watched it on Thursday for the first time.
Right on. Okay, so had you at least heard of this movie?
I hadn't. Not until we were in contact to do the episode. That was the first time. Like I was like, oh, what's that? And I went and looked it up, but that was the first time I'd heard anything about it.
Okay.
Okay, let me ask you this. What's your history with Vin Diesel?
I don't really have a good history with Vin Diesel. I've never been a huge Vin Diesel fan.
Gotcha.
Have you at least seen Fast and the Furious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You're just not a Vin Diesel fan, you're a Fast and the Furious fan.
I like Fast and Furious, but I don't like the other nine. Just the first one, really.
Now, are you aware of the Riddick universe that exists? Like the fact
Is there not two Riddick solo movies and like a sequel to Pitch Black about Riddick?
Well, there's an anime which features a short film about called Dark Fury or something. And yes, two live action solo Riddick movies that take place in this universe but tell the story of him, because at the end of the day they thought he was the most compelling part of this movie.
Yeah, I mean I could see he is a cool character. I mean, out of the ones we're given, he is the most badass.
Yeah. Colin, what about you? What kind of history do you have with Pitch Black?
Well, unlike Will, I was in my youth a very big Vin Diesel fan. Yeah. And I remember I came across Pitch Black one day while scrolling through my DirecTV satellite guide and coming across it on the Space Channel and seeing that Vin Diesel was in it. And I would have been at like the heyday of the first Fast and the Furious and XXX, which now that I'm reminded, we need to watch XXX on this show. And so I remember watching it and loving it, similar to you, Sean. Like, I just thought it was it's a very interesting movie. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump right into Pitch Black then. Directed by, I don't know how to pronounce this, David Twohy? 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 It's
too high.
T-W-O-H-Y. Twohy?
Twohy, one of those two.
Yeah. Well, he's the director on all the Riddick sequels as well. It's produced by Tom Engelman and written by Jim Wheat, Ken Wheat, and David Twohy. And so we open this movie on a ship in outer space and a voiceover from Riddick saying that your brain shuts down when you're in cryo sleep, all except the animal side, which is why he's awake. And it's such a quick introduction. I love how this movie just fucking gets to it.
It does.
I also really like how there's nothing really nefarious about what leads to them crashing.
Yeah.
Like the whole time I was kind of expecting there to be something more than just like maybe they were under attack or something, but it's just like you're from the get-go, it's really easy as a viewer to be in the mindset of the people on this ship, because it's like, oh, you just happened to run into this meteor field.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like your comparison with Gilligan's Island. I mean, it's just like, you're cast away. Luckily, you mm-hmm. landed on this planet. Yeah.
Yeah, I really did like the opening. I did like how it jumped right into it as soon as the title card flashed. I also did like the title card flash. It was just sick seeing this ship. But no, it was intense. When the holes were being like pierced in the ship, that was like stressful, because it felt like all the characters were kind of just like the ones that were awake, at least, were kind of just sitting and watching, and it was just really stressful as the viewer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, one thing that I definitely noticed, especially on this viewing, is how each environment really gets its own color palette. So in this whole opening, when the meteors are destroying the ship, I mean, it's a very red, you know, because we've got the emergency lights going off on everything. But there's like a yellow period and there's a white blue. Period.
There's a big blue.
Yeah. I mean, it always makes me think of something like when I go to the store to buy light bulbs, and I always forget that I don't like the bright white ones. I like the yellow light ones.
The soft light.
The soft light. Yeah, it's the bright white ones always stick out so drastically in my own home that's what it kind of reminded me of, is at times in this movie where it's like, oh, the soft lights came off and now the fluorescents are on or whatever, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So the captain ends up dead, and so Carolyn has to land this ship. And so we get her and Johns. Oh, Owens.
No, Owens, yeah. Johns comes later.
Right, right. Yeah, and they're entering the atmosphere of the planet and about to crash. And we find out that Carolyn is, you know, first of all, not the actual captain, and also willing to kill everybody else to save her own ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do like the character of Carolyn, though. I have to say that, just because she's a strong female lead in this movie, but it's not forced down your throat that she's a strong female lead.
Totally. She just kind of takes it over naturally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was really happy they didn't bother with any sort of romantic storyline with her, although there is some, like,
Johns,
you know, toxic masculinity happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought, like, in the crash scene, something that I just thought, like, I know it's the style of the movie, but I just thought it was really funny, like, when she was crashing, when it was, like, close up on her face, and, like, the camera was, like, inversing itself, and, like, the filters on the cat, like, it was just a bunch of different camera filters. It was just, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, super shaky cam. You don't know what you're looking at. Yeah.
Totally.
They do a lot of really interesting camera moves like that in this movie.
Yeah.
Like in that scene, it's the, you know, what you're talking about there, where it's like back and forth from her eyes to what she's seeing to her eyes. And then I think they do that later with John and Riddick when they're about to fight, and with the beasts, with the alien beasts or whatever. But I did sometimes find it a little jarring, but it also added a lot to the movie, I thought.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, a very easy way to add some intensity to, and not have to worry about choreography.
Yeah, totally. I was kind of wondering when I was watching it, when they crash down and the glass breaks all in her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She just kind of takes it. I was like, wow, I feel like you would have been, you're coming in it so fast. And you've got sand and all this debris. I don't think you just walk away from that personally.
You're landing something with enough force to shatter glass that is rated to be in outer space. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
This isn't just a regular window on a car. Yeah. I mean, this glass has to be, you know, inches thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just sticks her arms up, takes it.
Yeah. And so once they actually kind of come to their senses, they find out that Riddick has escaped from his pod. And so William Johns has to go after him and ends up taking him down. People are impaled. The back half of the ship is missing, and everything is so yellow.
I felt bad for Owens. He got it rough. Like he saves everyone and then gets killed.
Yeah. Because out of the 40 people that were on board, there's less than a dozen left. So Riddick is a pretty cool character.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason he got his own series. I will say I'm not a fan of the Chronicles of Riddick movies, but
I am.
I am a big fan of Pitch Black. I find them a little messy. There's a lot going on in some of them.
I've never seen any of them.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of the Chronicles of Riddick and looked forward to that going forward. I was a bit angry with how it all kind of gets dumped in the third one, and they basically just bring him back to this Pitch Black state.
Yeah.
But that's just me. People can go watch it and find out what I'm talking about. I won't belabor the point. But I've always thought that Riddick was a really cool character. And I was never like a big sci-fi guy. But for whatever reason, I like this world that he's in.
Yeah. Like, he's a mysterious character. And they did a good job of making sure that he kind of stays this way. I mean, you know, Vin Diesel is putting in a hell of a performance because he doesn't have to say much most of the time.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you, Will, because this is your first watch. There's something about like Riddick specifically that I think once you've watched this movie and the other two, and you know he's not the protagonist of this movie, but he's still the hero. Like, when you know that, rewatching it, I think there's... I felt like the kind of the first 30 minutes of the movie, the crew of the ship is really afraid of Riddick, right? And they're kind of running from him. And there's the whole thing about, like, is Riddick going to kill them? And I was wondering for you, as a first-time watcher, did you feel that more? Like, not knowing how things were going to pan out, did you feel like Riddick was more of a threat to the people on the ship?
Well, yeah, because there was so much mystery and intense, like, and a lot of suspense with it, like, you know, when they in the period that they couldn't find him. And then obviously I really believe that, like, when it's the scene of Zeke getting, like, pulled into the hole, and you see Riddick with it, and, like, you hear gunshots, and you see Riddick with his shiv or whatever. So at that point I didn't really know where the character was going.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, because they've also got the moment in there where he creepily sneaks up behind Carolyn and snips off a lock of her hair, too.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what to make of that. I kind of thought maybe he was doing like a Wolverine from the X-Men thing. Like, was he trying to get her scent?
Get her scent, yeah. I took it as he kind of just wanted to see how sharp his knife actually was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because where did he get his knife? Was it ever, like, I might be forgetting that.
I think he just found a piece of bone and somehow
sharpened it. I think he whittled it out of bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's also that moment when he, to escape from the ship, he decides to dislocate his shoulders and bring it up over his head.
Yeah. That was freaky.
Yeah. I kind of wonder how they did that. Like,
because it's all one shot.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, too.
Is that a trick that Vin Diesel has in his repertoire? Is that listed under special skills on his resume?
I wonder.
I can say the hell out of I Am Groot, and I can dislocate my shoulders.
I'm going to Google if he actually did it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah.
Because, like, he wasn't even in pain.
Yeah. So the crew, meanwhile, is going out to look for water, and they realize that they're on a planet that has three suns, because now we get a new sun to come up, and we get the blue filter on everything.
Oh, I just found this is the IMDb trivia. It says that Vin Diesel actually performed the shoulder dislocation stunt when Riddick breaks free for the second time for the crew holding the chain between his hands.
Wow.
Although he couldn't do it with the cuffs on. So when he's doing it, he's just holding it in between his hands. And it says like the version that we see is mostly him with some special effects thrown in.
Huh.
That's really cool.
Well, there you go. The more you know.
How pissed would you be if you did it and then the camera person was like, "Oh, sorry, I forgot we're not rolling."
That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
They're like, "Yeah, we have one shot because Vin's gonna be out of filming for like 4 months when he's in his cast."
Yeah. So while they're out looking for water, they manage to find an outpost. They discover that there has been a geo team on this planet doing some sciencing. And in the outpost, they find a model of the solar system, which shows them that, well, we don't find out yet, but eventually this model is going to show them that every 22 years, darkness will fall on this planet. But the paranoia of Riddick being around, it gets a whole bunch of people killed because they're idiots. They're
I was wondering if the one guy who like clearly got left behind the debris who shows up and gets blasted by Zeke, I think it is.
Yeah.
Is that has to be some cameo, like the director or somebody, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, the thank God. I wish that we would maybe.
I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, I thought I was the only one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, yeah. Not funny for that guy, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, there's a good chance, though, that it probably was a cameo. Yeah.
That would make sense.
Yeah. But, I mean, of course, when he blasts that guy, we have to make sure that we know that Riddick is up on the hillside just watching gleefully.
I like that scene a lot.
Yeah.
It's just like sitting on the under the umbrella on the beach chair.
Yeah.
The reason one of the reasons I put Gilligan's Island in the thing was mostly because I like the random cast of people who are on this ship. Like you have the imam and his three pilgrimage boys,
yeah,
the prospectors or whatever they are, and
yeah,
and then this, yeah, like this
straight
rich
up Mr.
collector
Howell
dude.
Yeah. You know, and a drug addicted Gilligan, you know that.
Yeah,
what I think is really funny about Imam and his sons is whenever they speak in their language, they only speak the same thing like the entire movie. They only ever say the one phrase.
Oh.
Like, I noticed that when I was watching. I was just like, I'm hearing that a lot.
Maybe it's like, we need water. Yeah, we need water. That's all they're saying over and over again. I definitely like, yeah. You have to have a couple of those stereotypes. Like, you have to have the guy that is just going to get in the way, like the rare wine collector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we've got Jack as well. You know, Jack, who we end up finding out is actually a girl, but she desperately wants to be Riddick.
Yeah. I could have done without Jack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's only for the big reveal about she's bleeding. No, not her. Her.
I don't know. It just, it's such a, I guess it matters, but it also doesn't matter. It's just it's a weird thing to have be a turning point of the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really know what to think. I was like, okay, I get it, but I don't get why.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is one reason why, as far as I'm concerned, and it's for the explanation of how Riddick got his eyes. And I think we need to tell the audience with a little, I used to like this One Piece theater.
Ooh.
Okay.
So, Will, I am going to get you to play Jack in this scene. And, Colin, you're going to get to be Richard B. Riddick.
Oh, wow. Star-turning performance.
Star-turning performance. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is the scene where Jack asks where the eyes came from. And so let's get the explanation from the man himself here.
Where the hell can I get eyes like that?
I am Groot. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Yes!
gotta kill a few people.
Okay, I can do it.
Then you gotta get sent to a slam where they say you'll never see daylight again. You dig up a doctor and you pay him 20 menthol cools to do a surgical shine job on your eyeballs.
So you can see who's sneaking up on you in the dark?
Exactly.
Yes! I used to like this one, Peace Theater. A small scene, but I figured, well, Will has done those with us before. Why not throw a little one in?
Totally.
So how does a surgical shine job work then, do you think?
I don't know.
I don't know why, but in my brain, I've always imagined it kind of like a putting your eyes through a bowling ball cleaning machine.
Okay.
like a polish, like it's more of a polishing.
So has he basically just gotten his irises removed so that his eye is like all pupil?
I guess.
I mean, I feel like something would have had to be added.
Yeah.
To the eye as well. Hmm. It can't just be that it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Like they buffed his retina or whatever it is, or like shaved some of it off, which is sometimes what I feel like. Yeah. Like they must have used some sort of because what makes it silver, right?
Yeah. So
to me, it sounds like there's something else that was put in there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm someone that I don't wear contacts because I've got a problem with things in my eyes. You know, pointy bits don't belong in squishy bits. Like,
yeah.
So it's, I guess there's another meaning that could have, but we'll get past that. But the, I can't imagine having someone in my eyeball doing that procedure. That's got to be the most excruciating event ever.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
For some reason, I could be wrong, but I feel like by the time we get to the third movie, I think Jack comes back and we find out that she's had it done as well.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, I don't remember the solo movies well enough, so.
No, I think she comes back in the anime. I have the right now. She's credited in the anime.
Well, yeah, but they could always have her playing a different character as well. Or, sorry, a different actor playing the character.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So Zeke ends up dying. He disappears. He gets pulled into a cave. And unfortunately, the murderer is the only witness to him disappearing. But he ominously tells Carolyn that it's not him they need to be worried about. So Carolyn crawls into the cave with a tether on to check shit out.
That scene was a really good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really forgot about the horror aspect of this movie.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah. And what was the budget again?
23? Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I appreciate a lot of the things I'm assuming they had to do to keep costs low so that they could pay for the very dated CGI of the aliens. But like even the scene where Zeke gets pulled in, there's something in the way that shot, like similar to how we were talking about before, but it's like, you know, it's just really fast, like blinks almost of his face and the gunshot sounds and the screeching and all that. And then just, you know, the blood.
Yeah, I thought it was a really effective way to hide the bad monsters or whatever.
Yeah.
was still, it was intense.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's like the shark from Jaws. He's never on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get our first little taste, though, in this movie of, like, the bad guys, or the alien bad guys, the creatures of this planet, you know, because we find out that they don't really go into the light, and Carolyn seems to be safe in the shaft of life. Light, let's throw it back to our first-time watcher. Like, were you starting to get a sense of what was going on, or did you have to wait for the explanations in this movie?
I didn't get the light part. Like I was a little bit confused when she was, like, sitting in the shaft, because, like, I knew what the monsters looked like, because you can, like, get a little bit, like, you can see glimpses of them in the caves.
Yeah.
So they looked like they would be able to climb. Like, they were stuck to the walls. So I kind of was just, like, curious why they weren't climbing up the shaft and just trying to pull her down by her tether.
Yeah.
But I didn't really catch on to that until it was explained.
Yeah.
I was a bit slow on that one.
Well, so see, I miss the days of having all these reveals, you know? So it's like, I love this movie, but, you know, the reveals are one of the things that makes it exciting the first time you see it.
Totally, yeah.
But one thing I've never understood is during the really intense part where Carolyn is climbing up this shaft and yelling at people to get her out, and there's something down here, why is Riddick all chained up in the ship? Like, why does he start swinging his arms and banging against the sides? Like,
What I actually thought when that was happening, I was, like, thinking, like, does Riddick control the aliens? Like, is he the planet?
Yeah.
Like, is this a reveal?
Yeah. Like, does he hear it and he's trying, like, because he's blindfolded, so now his ears are better? Does he hear what the, what's going on, and he's trying to get people's attention?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't even hear her when they were at the dig site. He's in the ship.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never understood that particular moment. Of all the weird visual choices that get made in this movie at times, I just don't understand why the director wanted to keep cutting back to him banging his arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, when you think about it, it makes no sense. In the movie, I find it just adds, like, a layer of, like, ominousness to the overall scene. But yeah, when you think about it independently, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Unless he's just, like, there trying to make noise because he's bored. That would be the only thing I could think of.
Yeah.
It was an artistic choice by the director, and the director is the only one who knows what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's actually, he's spelling something out in Morse code is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get better at my Morse code. We do find out, though, that, you know, with Riddick's line, finally found something worse than me, eh? So they decide that they're just going to have to work with Riddick, unfortunately. Johns does the whole negotiation of, you know, well, maybe you died in the crash. You know, go ahead, you're free afterwards. But then we have this whole, I want you to remember this moment. I still love that moment. I do like the relationship between Johns and Riddick. I think they play well off each other.
Yeah.
The drug addict.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially once you realize that Johns isn't so noble himself.
Yeah, he's no,
like,
Captain
when you
America.
Find out that he's not a cop and he's and all that.
Yeah.
That's why I do like Carolyn, though. Like, they write her character so well, because she doesn't have to do anything above and beyond to automatically be, like, the most noble, or, like, the hero of the group, I guess. Like, I know Riddick's the hero, but, like, she's the noble hero.
But that's why they wanted to show that she's flawed. Like, in the beginning, she almost dumps the passengers. At the end, she's torn when Riddick tries to convince her to just leave everybody behind and come with them. So, like, we do see that struggle that she deals with at a couple different points in this movie. So she's not pure either.
I think that Pitch Black, even though they've, like, they've lumped it as a like, retconned it as a Chronicles of Riddick story, I think that Pitch Black is better viewed as, like, a standalone movie, because it's really Carolyn's story, not Riddick's. Riddick is there, but it's Carolyn's story. Like, she's the one who goes through the transformation, really. Like, Riddick Riddick has his, but Riddick was never going back at the end to save those guys if she doesn't come back.
No.
So it's still arguable about whether or not he's actually had any, you know, level of internal change until the point, like, where, you know, spoiler alert, but, you know, Carolyn doesn't make it off the planet, so.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like you can't have Frasier without Cheers. So if you want to have Chronicles of Riddick, well, you got to have Pitch Black. You know, they're the same, but they're not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely... I don't consider it a Chronicles of Riddick movie. It just... It happens to have Frasier in it.
Yeah, totally.
So they all decide to head towards the other ship that they found at the bunker, and Jack is now a super fan of Riddick, having matching glasses. I don't know where she got those from. And then there's... weird panoramic shots that show them walking from the yellow to the blue, but it's like curved and fish-eyed. It's really weird, one of these shots. But he was just experimenting with everything. It's almost like...
it's like a student film.
Yeah, the camera guy more opened lens up his flares. Bed. Yeah, what else do you got? What else do you got?
Yeah, their DP was like, well... you know, I tried this once, like, or, you know what would look really cool? And then it's like, I want all of it. It's like, yeah. What's that? Isn't there, like, the SNL skit where it's, like, more cowbell? That's the cowbell.
Yeah.
So as they're all heading to the ship, Paris, who is the snooty guy, ends up dropping one of his bottles of Shiraz. And he introduces himself as an entrepreneur and antiquities dealer. Whereas Riddick introduces himself as a murderer. I like that little exchange.
Yeah, it was funny.
They pepper in enough humorous moments in this movie to kind of keep you not always on the edge. And I enjoy that. You know, Riddick slamming back this bottle of Shiraz was a lot of fun, I thought.
Especially as he's like telling him how expensive it is. And then he just gives up.
Yeah.
The one thing... I did find a little bit of a struggle with this movie is, like, I do like sci-fi, but I feel like if you're going to have a sci-fi movie, you should make the universe its own big, massive thing and try to really remove it from Earth. I thought it was weird that, like, why are these guys in space? And where are they coming from? Everything about them seems to be very clearly linked to Earth-based things.
Yeah.
It was strange.
Yeah.
Because the one guy in the first scene... Paris talks about India.
Yeah.
Line of dialogue.
Yeah. But I don't think Riddick is human, though. Is he?
No, he's from a planet called Furia.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's the only, like, it's just weird. He's the only one. And I mean, Johns has clearly chased him around the galaxy, so to seem, from, like, planet to planet or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's just a weird choice of, you know, why couldn't Paris's antiques and stuff be just from some other random made-up planets? It's weird to me that if you're going to have a movie that takes place in a vast galaxy so far in the future where we've developed the ability to travel between planets, that you would still want to, like, bother with linking it to... It's like if Star Wars went to Earth, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's just strange.
Yeah. Well, they get to the coring room and more people end up dead because, you know, that's where all the creatures can come up and they, you know, they start eating some of the kids.
The bats.
The bats, yeah.
The bat aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, they all attack Ali and then when they open the window, they all freak out and fly back down the hole, but Ali is dead. And then that's when we go back to the model of the solar system on the table and we find out that, uh-oh, nightfall is coming. They're starting to put the pieces together as a team. They're finally Scooby-Dooing their way into understanding what's going on here. The people that were here, they didn't leave. They're dead. So they have this plan that they are going to get off the planet in the ship, but Johns wants to save the power cells until the very last minute because he knows that this could be Riddick's way of escaping and duping them all. But then we find out that, oh shit, the eclipse is starting. We got to move now with these power cells.
I thought that was pretty funny. The whole like solar system diorama when they find out like it's the eclipse and it was like 22 years ago and stuff. Yeah.
Such yeah. a random number.
Yeah. It's like that, just like counts to 22 on the thing and then it goes back that number of years. I just yeah. thought that was just a random feature to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Of all the years that you could have landed on this planet. I will say, though, that once the eclipse starts, like for all the creature CGI that doesn't necessarily work very well anymore, the shot of the rings of the planet rising on the horizon.
That is a really
very
cool
shot. Yeah.
Yeah. And like when the sunlight goes behind it and stuff, like. Yeah. When the eclipse like fully starts, that's cool.
Yeah. Right. And of course, because you have to have tropes in a movie, the Paris, the antiquities dealer, has to run off on his own personal mission, putting everyone else at risk. We can't just go. Come on, guys. Like, we need to get these power cells. Everything is solar powered. We have to go.
Didn't he say he was going to get a coffee too?
Something like that. Or his coffin? I don't know. Because like
I think coffin, yeah, because all yeah. his stuff is in that sarcophagus or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But there goes the sun. The solar car no longer works, and the screeches start, and all the creatures are coming to the surface. Man, they sound just like the shrieking eels from Princess Bride.
Yeah,
yeah.
This was yeah. Unfortunately, the. As good as the movie is, I felt that the aliens almost take away from it a little bit. I almost wish that they would have went the route of Alien, maybe, and used more practical effects for when you actually saw the creatures around.
Yeah.
Well, like, when he is face-to-face with the one, that one's definitely a model, though. That one's definitely a practical one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you...
When he's doing the peekaboo thing with the...
Yeah,
staying out of its sonar or radar or whatever they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, you know, as they're running away with these power cells, you know, we get another weird camera angle. There's this point where they yell, like, get down! And when Shaza and Riddick are running to the ship, and you see them dive, but you get the shot of them just diving through the camera. Like, it's almost like when Jazz... gets tossed out of Uncle Phil's house in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. You almost expected the to go with it. but Riddick gets down, Shaza does not, and now Shaza is dead. Oh my god, we're just losing people left and right in this movie.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, and now we're in full darkness, and boy, we in trouble now. So they start hiding out in their broken down spaceship. And so we end up with another dead little boy because, you know, Riddick tells him not to go in somewhere and he does anyway. But they find out that light hurts them. So now they plan to use what little light sources they have to get the power cells back to the skiff. And so they need Riddick to lead them in the dark. It's kind of convenient that you happen to have this character that can see in the dark.
It's also odd to me that it's... any light hurts them. I could be on board with just sunlight. We all know that, you know, sunlight, UV rays, sunburns, whatever. I could get with that. But, like, the idea that shooting a flashlight on them will also...
Yeah.
They're kind of... It's like vampires to me. I don't... At least from what I remember, I don't think vampires shirk at a flashlight.
Yeah, no, you need, like, UV lights. But, you know, we found out in Little Monsters, though, that a flashlight was enough. So, are these monsters or vampires, right?
I don't put much stock into that movie's contributions to the lore.
Well, yeah, because they find all sorts of different light sources. They've got the weird blue... tubes
bottles,
that they wrap around themselves, and then they've got some alcohol bottles, specifically Jim Beam and Jack Daniel's bottles. So I think it's time for Sponsorship Corner. So, always on the lookout for product placements and movies this week, Pitch Black is brought to you by, well, I just named them all, Jim Beam and Jack Daniels. And I guess a very expensive Shiraz. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. I was so happy that something came out of it. I'm like, oh, there's not going to be anything in this movie. But no, they're holding those Jack Daniels bottles aloft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
So one of my favorite moments is the bit where John says to Riddick, "How's it look?" And he says, "Looks clear." And then the alien jumps out at him and he says, "I thought she said it was clear. I said it looks clear. Well, how's it look now? Looks clear."
Yeah, I like that as well.
That's one of my favorite exchanges in this movie.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
Yeah. So they're going out into the darkness with all their glowing tubes and their cart full of power cells. And, of course, it's time for Paris Ogilvy to be the downfall of everyone. Because he drops something and then he ends up breaking the connection and everybody's tubes start dying. And but I must say, I still, even though like the CGI is rough, I still like the shot of where he takes the swig of the alcohol and does the blows the fire.
Yeah, surrounded. Yeah, that was really cool, I thought, too. It's a cool, it makes for a cool screen grab.
Yeah. Now, that is one that I saw the behind-the-scenes thing, and it's just him sitting on a green screen blowing a fireball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like he actually blew fire?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
So, listed under special skills in this actor's resume.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's like when you got hired for Pitch Black, it's like, what can you do? Vin Diesel's like, well, I can dislocate my shoulders. And this guy's like, I can blow fire. Okay.
The director was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have I got some ideas now? But yeah, so we're down to only a few people at this point now. And this is where we find out that Jack is actually a girl because she's bleeding. And Carolyn wants to turn back, but Johns is upset because she's responsible for getting them out there. And, oh, all this drama going on amongst our Gilligan's Island crew. But now we get a color change because we go from the blue tubes. Yeah, and now we have flares and everything's green for a little while. But this is where we find out that Johns has started to turn a little evil. He wants to just kill one of them off. But
yeah, this scene to me is probably my favorite one. I love the turn of Riddick when he's like, well, you know, I was just thinking maybe we need a larger piece of bait, and then just it's a pretty epic fight scene.
Yeah.
But after Riddick like gets the upper hand and slices John in the back, I just love his Cheshire Cat type exit into the darkness.
Yeah.
To just leave John's to get murked.
Yeah.
Was cool.
Ha ha, I can see around. There's one point in that fight though where like where Riddick ends up getting his arm like snapped in half and he just snaps it back in place.
yeah he definitely does.
Hypermobile joints.
Is there some superpower of Riddick that I don't remember?
They were just like trying to show that he's not human by thinking of weird shit he can do with his body.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense in context of the, because what happens, I think, is his like elbow gets dislocated. So I mean, if he can purposely like dislocate his shoulders and snap them back into place, I think it stands to reason that he could just like snap his elbow back into place.
Okay, elbow. See, for me, it always looks like it's like middle of the forearm, which is why it's extra surprising. But maybe it is the elbow. Okay, like it happens so fast.
You can't really see the hand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I always thought it was forearm too. I'll have to go back. Well, just like the one time I watched it looked forearm, but
yeah, yeah, you always thought it was.
Yeah, I always. Like all 4 days.
Yeah. But now it's time for Johns to die. He gets his head eaten, and we get the great line of, "Where's Johns? Which half?" But Riddick figures out that they've got a blind spot. This is going to come in handy later. So they decide to make a mad dash through the elephant graveyard, as they called it earlier, where Riddick is pulling all the power cells alone. Move! Yeah. And they're all running with their bottles of Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. But that's where, like, all the creatures start killing each other, and their blue blood is dripping on our heroes. And all hell breaks loose, because all their bottles, all their fires are going out and everything like that. And so they have to hide in a cave.
This is the point where, like, I mean, we missed the previous conversation that Riddick has with the imam about his god and all that, but I do like that point where, because I don't know, Vin Diesel just has the most ridiculous laugh. I don't know, like that, like it's just this weird like Muppet laugh that he's got. But when it starts raining, he's like, "Where's your god now?" And I was like, "Funny."
Yeah. And we get one more dead kid. The kid with the broken leg gets taken away. Riddick leaves everyone alone in the cave and continues on the journey alone. But when the fire in the cave goes out, they find a bunch of glowing creatures that live there. They conveniently got into the one cave with these glowing creatures because there weren't any earlier to protect Carolyn in the caves when she was down in the shafts of light. Where were these glowing creatures before?
They only exist in this one tiny unknown cave in the canyon.
Yeah. But they start bottling them into their Jack Daniels bottles, and we're back to a blue filter on the camera.
Wait, I figured it out. These bugs, they're like eclipse bugs, so it's like the natural circle of life of the planet. So the bugs only arrive when there's an eclipse so that all the alien monsters can eat them, because theoretically there's no humans for them to eat, I guess.
So this is their sustenance, yeah.
Unless maybe also every 22 years there's like a meteor shower that knocks some ship of people out of orbit onto the planet. I don't know.
There is something more nefarious at play then.
Yeah.
Another big reveal.
Yeah.
How epic would it have been if all of a sudden at the end of the movie, the captain came back to life because maybe the meteors were all weird alien eggs.
Yeah. maybe these glowing blue things is like the larva stage of these creatures that are flying around this planet.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's possible too.
That's why they all leave the caves, because they've all laid their eggs and, you know, they're left glowing, so they have to go to the surface when it gets dark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Carolyn is thinking it's taking a little bit too long, so she gets back to the ship just as Riddick was about to abandon them. And we have that big emotional crisis that I was talking about a little bit earlier, where Riddick tries to convince her to abandon everyone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, they decide to go back for them, and we get a little bit of what, did you think I was going to abandon you moment? Well, yeah, of course we did.
I was kind of, the second time I was watching the movie in preparation for this, I was wondering if when Riddick says how interesting, if that's like an acknowledgement of the fact that, because he was awake when everything was happening, so do you think he knew, he would have known that Carolyn thought about pulling the thing to send everybody out?
Well, if she wasn't too far away, like how close was the cockpit to where everyone actually was? The camera was too shaky. I wasn't able to follow the geography.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
So I must say that the moment where Riddick is doing his little standing in the alien blind spot thing gave me Chris Pratt vibes with the raptors in Jurassic World.
Yeah, totally.
So while he's off fighting aliens by hand, the three remaining are now thinking that they're going to abandon Riddick, but Carolyn refuses to leave him behind. But of course, Carolyn is now dead because she was too good of a person at the last minute.
So
let this be a moral to you, kids. Be evil.
I remember the first time I watched this movie being absolutely shocked that she got killed.
Yeah.
When you see her just get torn away into the darkness, I was like, "What?" Believe it.
Yeah.
It was because she's the last one you'd expect them. Like, if they killed off Riddick, like, it would have been surprising. But, like, honestly, for me, it would have been less surprising if Riddick died.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's this one little moment where Riddick just wants to get a little bit of revenge when he's taking off. He decides to use the ship as a weapon because, as Colin said, we can't leave without saying goodnight. That should have been the tagline. And they escape by flying through a bunch of these creatures. And the end.
They say goodnight.
And that is Pitch Black. Now, Colin, Will, on IMDb, it scored 7.1 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 49. Ooh, critics not liking this one. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 59% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 77%. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like a ship flying through a whole flock of aliens. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, I'm going to start with good reviews and then move to the not so great. Okay. Isaiah Bishop Jr. says 5 out of 5 stars. I expected nothing and got everything. It looked like cheap sci-fi, and it was so much more. It was a thrilling story and some of the best characterization and character development I'd seen in quite some time. I can't count how many times I've watched this since seeing it in the theater with a friend.
Okay.
Rachel Laura E. says 5 out of 5 stars. Pretty good. Kind of gave TV show vibes due to a lower budget. The acting was great. The character is believable. I feel like this show would have benefited more had they went a TV show route. Learning more about the Mercs, the planet they were initially going to, the characters' backstories, etc. However, as it is, it's a good watch. Justin Dean Colfer gives the movie 4 out of 5 stars and says, look, if you're not a fan of Vin, you will not like it. I loved it when it was first released and decided to watch it again, and I found myself enjoying it once again. If you enjoy sci-fi and remember the age on this film, I think you will enjoy it. I did not care for the animated sequel, but liked Riddick. What's Rotten Tomatoes got? We'll go make this the last one. Theodore M. says 0.5 out of 5 stars. It's not a horror movie, it's not an action movie, it's not a sci-fi movie, it doesn't make sense. It looks like Stargate. The action is garbage as fuck, just like the acting. What a waste of time.
Wasn't shiny enough for him.
Yeah.
Right on. So yeah, like I said, audiences in the 70s, 7.1 out of 10 on IMDb and 77% on Rotten Tomatoes. And critics not liking it, 49% and 59%. Let's throw it over to our first time watcher this time. Will, what did you think of your Pitch Black experience?
Okay, so I wasn't sure what to make of it at the beginning. There was like a lot of weird camera and editing moves that for the first hour I was like, this movie is not good at all. It's so weird. It's hilarious. Like, I thought I was in for, like, another bad movie. Like, in the first hour, it had its moments, but I kind of just wasn't all that invested. But then, like, as soon as the eclipse actually started, I started seeing the movie in a different way, and I saw there was a lot more positive there, and, like, they made the, I thought the choices looking back were pretty cool and they fit the vibe. And I thought there was a lot of great horror elements and lots of great suspense. And I thought it was just a great sci-fi horror movie. I really enjoyed it. It's not one that I'll probably likely watch again soon, but for a middle of the week night watch, it was, I enjoyed it.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, it's a movie that definitely hits the ground running and then slows down a little bit, gives you some mystery, and then just, like, balls to the wall once that eclipse starts.
Yeah.
I still like it. I mean, it does definitely have some weird visual choices, but when you put them all together, even though individually they don't make a lot of sense, in the end it's like, okay, I see what he's going for. He doesn't have quite as as noticeable of a style as someone like Baz Luhrmann or Wes Anderson. Like, you know that you're watching one of their movies when you're watching this. This is, you know, it's a little bit all over the place, but the pieces together work. It's still a fun action, like one of those reviews said, it's still a fun action sci-fi movie. Yeah, I still enjoy it. I still think people should watch this movie. Colin, what about you? On this watch, what did you think of Pitch Black?
I enjoyed it, but I'll be honest, I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped I would.
Okay.
I just felt the aliens were a little dated, and to Will's point, I was very, very thrown off by the camera, like the way that the camera, even when they first get to the planet and the saturation of the light, because you know there's so much sun, and just always, like you've mentioned, Sean, switching from different like color palettes and to the Riddick's, the way Riddick's eyes look or vision looks, and the way that the aliens look and stuff, it was just, it lacked a consistency, I think. I still think it's a very good sci-fi horror movie.
Yeah.
And I like it in that regard, but I definitely didn't like it as much as I expected to.
Yeah, I think the 70% is fair. Right? Like I can see it as a 70% movie. I'm not going to say this is the best sci-fi action movie of all time or anything.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right on. There we go. That is Pitch Black, and that's our show for this week. Oh, big, huge thank you to our friend Will Brisbane. Will, if people want to find you online doing your thing, you like to throw the occasional throwback to your Paw Patrol days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at will.brisbane. Will spelled the usual way. Brisbane is B-R-I-S-B-I-N. And then on Twitter and Facebook, you can find me just at Will Brisbane, no period in there.
Right on. Thanks again for joining us. Always love having you here, Will.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for having me. I'm glad I could watch this movie, because it was one, like I said, it was fun. It was a movie that I haven't seen anything like in a while, so it was really fun to get to experience that.
Awesome. If you like that show, one thing you could do to really help us out on your business end is, well, just tell the world, share our posts. Word of mouth reviews go so far for a show trying to find an audience. Or go to whatever app it is you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. We'd like 5 of them. Unless it's out of 10, then we'd like 10 of them. But give us some stars and a review. Doesn't matter what you say. It's not for our egos. It just helps drive us up the charts, helps us get noticed. Or if you would like to be a producer of the show, throw us a couple bucks a month. You can go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne and you become part of our Patreon community and you get a shout out on the show, just like executive producer Joshua Blum.
And go to our website, www.IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. I don't know why I paused there. Brain fart. Anyways, there you'll find links to all our podcast episodes, as well as our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. And if you want to drop us a line and let us know what movies you used to like or movies that you would like us to talk about on the show, email us at iusedtolikethisone@gmail.com.
I Used to Like This One is created by, hosted by, and produced by Sean Wells and Colin Stewart. It is edited by Sean Wells. Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter and the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. If you want to hear more content from me and hear me talking about my day job as a bus driver, check out my other podcast, In Front of the Yellow Line, anywhere pods are cast. Thank you for listening. And join us next time when we take a look at another movie on I Used to Like This One.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. A priest, a cop, and a criminal are traveling through space. No, you know what, guys? I'm just going to restart.
Yeah, okay.